It's Bill Leff, it's Wendy Snyder, and we don't have a lot of time with this guy, so let's just get right to it. The man, the myth, the legend, you really need no introduction, Penn Jillette. How are you?
Doing very well, Wendy. How you been?
Pretty great. I saw you. You've been all over the place. I saw you on Good Morning America with George Stephanopoulos, and you could have put him in your pocket.
I could, yeah.
Did you think about that, Penn? Were you considering that?
I've lost more weight than he has.
You lost to George Stephanopoulos.
I did.
100 pounds. Presto is the book, How I Made Over 100 Pounds Disappear and Other Magical Tales. You will be at the Anderson's Bookshop in LaGrange, which is just...
ZZ Top named LaGrange. Yes.
And I live like 5 blocks away, so I might walk over there on Saturday.
Please do. It's 4 o'clock on Saturday.
4 p.m. All right, so the big question is, how tall are you?
6'7".
You didn't lose any height, though, right, Penn? It was all weight, correct?
Very little. All right. There were no inches lost anywhere, I think.
Good.
And you dropped 100 pounds, and I know the secret, but why don't you explain to others?
Well, the secret, there's really no secret. The secret was that, you know, you always try to diet easy. Say, have a smaller piece of pie, smaller piece of steak. I just did it hardcore. You know, I don't respect moderation at all. No one brags about walking up a slight incline. They brag about climbing Everest. So I wanted to change the whole way I related to food. So I did 2 weeks of eating just potatoes. Now, I could have chosen any mono diet. I could have chosen beans or corn. But I chose potatoes because it's the funniest word. So 2 weeks, I ate nothing but potatoes, which knocks you out of a lot of America because you're no longer socially eating and you're no longer eating for entertainment. You're just eating when you're hungry. And also that resets your taste buds and your microbiome. So when you're done eating 2 weeks of potatoes, all of a sudden food tastes entirely different. And I can't exaggerate that at all because it was so profound. I mean, the first piece of corn I had after 2 weeks of potatoes was like candy. It was just salty and sweet and just terrific. Now, I want to say as I'm saying this, this is the story of how I lost over 100 pounds, but I write it more first-person singular than Donald Trump's speeches. I only talk about myself. I don't talk about you, because if you take medical advice from a Las Vegas magician, you're an idiot and you deserve to die.
Wow. So have doctors said to you, well, you're lucky to be alive, Penn Jillette. You could have died from eating only potatoes. Have doctors said that? No?
Every doctor says this saved your life. I was about 340 pounds, and I was in the hospital for blood pressure like UK voltage, you know, like 220 on drugs, on like 6 blood pressure meds, the highest dose. And it's clearly saved my life. I mean, where I ended up is on a diet that I use potatoes as kind of a performance art piece to knock myself off the American standard diet, or the standard American diet, SAD, as many doctors call it. I wanted to do that. But right now where I've landed is a diet that I don't think any doctor speaks out against, which is just whole plants, which is to say no animal products, no refined grains, very low salt, sugar, and oil. And then, you know, every couple of weeks, when it's rare and appropriate, when it's right, you know, my daughter says, let's get a sundae and a pizza. Sure, you know, it's what you eat chronically that matters. No one gets fat and sick from one meal. No one gets healthy from one meal. It's what you eat every day.
And all we do is, you know, I'm half Italian. When you celebrate, you go out to eat. It's a birthday. Yeah. Let's get some food. It's like, that's how we celebrate.
Yeah, you know, what I found out from changing my relationship with food so dramatically is that there's much more intimacy in hanging out with people not in a loud restaurant and not while stuffing your face. It's kind of nice to talk to people. It kind of takes away one of the barricades of interaction with other humans. You know, nothing matters more to me than sharing information with other people. And I actually find it easier when food is at the center of it. And that would have never crossed my mind that you could talk to somebody without a pizza in front of you.
And during this process, you opted to not really work out much as well, correct?
Yeah, you know, when you're losing, I mean, now I exercise. But when you're losing, before you're at target weight, you don't want to exercise, because exercising is bodybuilding. And what you're trying to do is get the body to burn up that fat. And it actually burns more fat when it's not working out, because it's not trying to store. The storage system works differently in the body. So I never would advocate not exercising, but not exercising while losing weight. Remember, I lost all the weight in about 4 months. I lost most of the weight in 3 months, 80 pounds in 3 months. So I was losing 0.9 pounds a day. So that's a very short period of time to not exercise. If you're losing weight, you know, the stupid way, like a couple pounds a month, you can't stop exercising during that because it's the rest of your stupid life. Mm-hmm. Do it fast and get it done.
All right. People who lose weight quickly, though, have saggy skin.
Yes.
Did that happen to you?
Yes, at first, and then your body kind of takes care of it. I'm a 61-year-old man, you know. I do not look and never will look like, you know, a 20-year-old man. But the saggy skin gets pretty much absorbed. I mean, it takes a year or two. I've now been at my target weight for 17 months, and research will tell you that 2 years is the magic number. That's when most people have failed by 2 years. So I've got another, 7 months to go before I've really made it. But, 17 months without gaining any weight back is still something to be a little bit happy about.
Did you have to change all your magical items and stuff? Because, now when you're up against a box, you're closer to it than you were before because you have no stomach.
Yeah, the answer is yes. Especially the suits. Penn and Teller wear matching gray business suits that just look kind of normal. But the fact is they're all gimmicked, to the max. We do 8 costume changes during our show into identical suits because the suits are gimmicked like crazy. Different pockets, different things hidden, different threads, different wires running off them. All those suits had to be changed. Also, all advertising had to be changed. And the surprising thing was, I had to do a lot of juggling practice to get back to where I was before because my muscles changed so much that the twitch muscles changed, the control of them changed. So to rewire that took a couple of weeks to get that back tight.
Wow, that's pretty interesting.
Speaking, it was a third of my weight, so
wow.
I kind of a different person. It also changed how I move on stage. And when you're standing there at 340 pounds, there's a certain kind of gravitas that you get just by being there. And now I move more on stage, not only because I'm more comfortable and happier, but also because the way the audience sees me is different. The other thing that's so surprising is after losing 100 pounds, I'm wicked happier. I'm just happier.
Oh, good.
But you always seemed happy, Penn. Did
I
you?
Always was happy, but now it seems it's another level. It's just I'm more relaxed. I believe I'm perhaps a little bit kinder. And, my children are 10 and 11 years old, and at some point when I was in the hospital, I had to consider, is chocolate cake worth leaving my children a little bit earlier?
Yeah.
See, that's why you're happier is you'll get to see them. You'll get to see them grow up. And how could that not equal happiness?
I could still get hit by a truck.
Yeah.
But certainly if you
smaller
look at
casket, though.
Yep.
If you look at any actuary tables, my odds have just gone up for living longer.
On the back cover of your book of Presto, How I Made Over 100 Pounds Disappear, there's a picture of you standing in an old pair of your pants.
Yeah, actually, they're prop pants, but they're around the same size. Yeah, that's what I was wearing. Yeah,
very reminiscent of the late James Coco, by the way. Remember, he used to do that. He did that quite often. Yeah, yeah.
But it's a pretty great thing, and it's kind of important. For billions of years, every living thing, their major problem was getting more calories. They had too few calories. And now for maybe 100 years, in a very small segment of one species, we have the new problem of too many calories.
Yeah.
That's because of geniuses. I mean, it's because of people like Norman Borlaug in the Green Revolution of the 60s, just people that learned about food production and did wonderful, wonderful things. If you told someone 500 years ago that one of the problems in a country would be that the poor people would be too fat, they would roll around laughing that you were insane.
Yeah.
That's actually what's going on. And I'm just, trying to learn about how we can change our relationship with food so we can actually celebrate the Green Revolution instead of having essentially what's been happening, which is good news kill us.
What would Teller have said if he would talk about your weight loss?
Teller was thrilled. Teller's been working with me for over 41 years. He cares about me very, very much. And I've now found out since I've gotten healthier that he was much more worried than he let on.
Really?
No, I wasn't doing well. I wasn't doing well.
Yeah. Penn, I have to ask you, you mentioned Donald Trump's name. You brought up his name, so I'm curious. I know you were on Celebrity Apprentice. You got to spend
two tours of duty. Yeah.
Two tours, so you got to spend a little bit of time with Donald Trump. What do you make of all that's going on?
Well, you know, I think of all the people that were on Celebrity Apprentice, I'm the one who liked Donald Trump the most.
Yeah.
I have an incredible tolerance for eccentricity and the qualities that he had for improvisational TV. Because remember, I wasn't trying to get a job with him.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a job to offer me. Those casinos went bankrupt. I also have a job. I have more money than my father left me, mm-hmm. and I have a successful business. So there was no job that we were vying for. It was just an improvisational television show. His qualities for that are fabulous. You know, he's capricious, he's volatile, he's irresponsible, he's unpredictable. Those are qualities you want on an improvisational television show. They're the best qualities possible to work with. As president, they're very, very bad.
Yeah.
I'll put this another way. You know, Teller is the person I respect most in the world.
Yeah.
There's never been a better magical mind than Teller's. He's a wonderful performer. He's a perfect human being, and he never makes mistakes. If he were running for president, I would do everything I could do to stop him. I mean, Ronald Reagan is, I guess, an important exception. But for the most part, entertainers should not be in politics.
Right.
Different skill set. What I want in a politician is someone who is honest and a grown-up and has experience. So I'm behind Gary Johnson, who was, two-time governor of New Mexico.
Yeah.
So I don't feel your burn, but I'd like you to feel my Johnson.
God, I miss you.
and my Johnson.
And somebody questioned you. I was doing reading online, and they're like, you're going to just waste your vote if you vote the Libertarian Party with Gary Johnson. That is not true, in your opinion, is it?
Well, there's another way to put that, which is, I consider you wasting your vote if you don't do what I want. It's a very offensive thing to say. My feeling would be if you're voting for Hillary Clinton, you're throwing away your vote that could go to Gary Johnson. It's very, very important that we get out of this two-party system. And to his credit, Donald Trump is doing a wonderful job destroying the Republican Party.
Yes, he is.
That should be an important party. That should be the party of smaller government. It should be the party of fiscal responsibility, individual responsibility. And it simply is not now. It's the party of a clown. And I say that as someone who went to clown college. So really, you know, Gary Johnson's success is far greater than anybody else's. Last time he ran, he was at 1%. Now he's at 12%. And all I would say to people is, if we can push him to 15%, don't you want to see a grown-up who actually cares about the country and not just himself or herself talking during the debates? Wouldn't that be wonderful?
It would be great to see him at the debate. So what does he need, just a couple more percent?
Yeah, he needs 15%. And the conversation I want to hear, the conversation I desperately want to hear, is the conversation between Bernie Sanders and Gary Johnson. And I want to hear Bernie Sanders explain that he thinks that the government should be a very strong safety net, and there's stuff that we can do together to help other people, and there's infrastructure that has to be done, and we have to do that with taxes that go into a central government and take care of people. And then I want to hear Gary Johnson say a lot of those people can be cared for by the private sector and by charity, and we need individual responsibility, and we need more power in each individual. And I want the two of them to make their cases, two people who think about it and care about it, and I want the American people to listen and go, you know, let's try this now or let's try that now. And I will take that. I will, even though I'm a libertarian, I would take a more socialist point of view if that's what we're really getting. But two power-hungry megalomaniacs with mental health issues fighting for who has the most power is not what I want to see. And I want to say, in fairness to Hillary, that she may be wrong, but she's at least wrong within the rules. Donald Trump is a train that is going across a field that no longer has tracks.
Wow.
Penn Jillette,
beautiful.
The book is called Presto, How I Made Over 100 Pounds Disappear and Other Magical Tales. Go see him at the Anderson's Bookshop in LaGrange. This Saturday, 4 p.m., I'm going to pop by and say hi. Great to talk to you, Penn.
I look forward to seeing you again.
Take care, Penn. Thanks so much. Penn Jillette, everybody. Again, that book, Presto. We'll take a quick break and then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.